And this is how we start Lent on Ash Wednesday. He says, repent and believe in the good news. So if you are balking and saying, no, no way, this isn't for me, let's call ourselves to greatness here. We are Women Encouraging and Equipping Women to universally and uniquely serve Christ in their feminine vocation.
By embracing joy, laughter, freedom, and friendship, we are seeking to thrive in the trenches of our domestic churches.
Welcome to Thriving in the Trenches podcast. This is Becky Carter.
And this is Megan Schreiber. Today, you're listening to episode number 35, where we are discussing Lenten fasting. And I know everybody is so excited about this topic. Becky?
Oh, yeah. I mean, who doesn't want to talk about grumbling stomachs and painful days and grumpy and... Oh, wait, that's not how the Bible describes.
No, exactly. This is, you know, maybe some of our listeners find a podcast or two comforting. This one, I think we're rolling up our sleeves a little bit, and we're going to kind of get into the meat of things. And really,
No pun intended.
That was good. Yeah, see? Okay. We'll have to say, too, that this was something that was really placed on your heart by the Holy Spirit, this topic. And it's going to be a great launching place for us. Either one of two things is going to happen. We're going to really empower ourselves this Lenten season. I'm joking with the empower piece. But no, really, really,
I missed it.
Really feed ourselves this Lenten season between the penitential psalms that we're going to be doing along with Sarah Chrismeyer and fasting.
Yeah.
We might come out like warriors on the other end.
I mean, if you read the early church fathers, I mean, that's kind of what we're doing here. Mm-hmm. And even when you say feeding ourselves, we really are. We're going to be feasting. It's just not going to be on meat.
That's right.
And such.
Exactly. Food. Exactly. So let's get right into this. Okay. Full disclosure, okay. I'm not a good faster. I'm not a good faster. Okay. There are countless days, and anybody who's busy can know what I'm talking about. There are many, many days where it'll be 3 o'clock and I'm like, oh my gosh, I haven't eaten. I had a cup of coffee. That's horrible for your body anyway. Like, but whatever. But I didn't go through big hunger to alert me because I just was so busy, right? Because, but then when I know I have to fast, it's like an hour later and I think I'm dying. So to me, that also says it's where my mind is. It's where my mind is. Am I going into this like, this is going to be miserable? This is going to be hard. How am I going to do this? Well, the negativity is just magnified then into it. And then when I'm not thinking, and by the way, there's no spiritual benefit when I have not eaten until three, because the intent was not for it to be a spiritual benefit. Do you see what I'm saying? I wasn't relating any discomfort to the back to the Lord because I wasn't feeling any. But I'm hoping that you can inspire me to be a better faster.
First of all, I'm going to quote a scripture.
Great.
Okay. So Matthew 6, it says, it's concerning fasting. And Jesus says, so when you fast, do not look dismal like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces that their fasting may be seen by men. Truly, I say to you, they have their reward. But when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, that your fasting may not be seen by men, but by your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Of course, Jesus says that about a lot of things, and almsgiving and prayer. Those three virtues that the Lord calls us, acts of charity that the Lord calls us to on a regular basis, but especially during the season of Lent. As we talked about on last week's episode with Sarah, those 40 days, he tells us in scripture to do all those in secret. Now, I found it interesting. So the term anoint your head, my trusty Catholic Study Bible had a little note on that for me. And it says fasting was often a public practice accompanied by wearing sackcloth and putting ashes on one's head. While it was intended to express inner repentance, hypocrites utilized it to appear devout. Washing and anointing outwardly symbolize happiness and disguise one's inner commitment to God. Hmm. So we're just not supposed to be like the Pharisees, right, and, you know, on our sackcloth. And honestly, if it's a day of fasting, it really does help if you go ahead and take a shower and you get dressed for the day. Mm-hmm. There's this weird psyche thing.
Sure.
If not, you can, you know, feel a little.
Yeah.
I want to address something you said about fasting till 3 and it wasn't good, blah, blah, blah. Okay. Number one, if you're saying a morning offering, mm-hmm, you're offering your day to the Lord, however it is.
Good.
And therefore, if it's 3 o'clock and you realize you've fasted, mm-hmm, and you are now feeling the effects of that, why can you not give that to the Lord?
Oh, I like that. I like that. That's good. Thank you.
Because there's benefit in fasting.
Right.
Scientifically, there are lots of evidence. All the spirituality, mm-hmm, movements, not just Christianity, have practiced fasting for years and years. Mm-hmm. It's always connected to a religious,
right,
whatever. Now, I'm not endorsing those, please.
Yeah.
Do not think that.
Right.
But, you know, all things stem from Christianity in some form because there's nothing new under the sun. Anyway, so what do you think about that?
First of all, thank you for pointing that out for me, because I needed that. So thank you. I appreciate it. Yeah. Because it can be in that moment. And you know, we put God into a time capsule, mm-hmm, but he lives beyond that. So it would be beneficial for me to go into that and really reflect on it and give that to him. So that's beautiful. Thank you. When I listened to the scripture quote from Matthew, you know, this is really silly, but the one word that jumps out at me is when. Mm. Right from the beginning. Mm. When. Not if you fast. Mm-hmm. It's when. It is expected. It's expected for us to tame our temporal being, in a sense, right? So it's like, mm-hmm, again, theology of the body. I know I talk about that a lot, but, you know, what we do to our body mm-hmm affects our soul. And,
yes,
and what we do to our soul affects, mm-hmm, our body.
Absolutely.
So this ability to rein in our desires in that moment of not reaching for a chocolate or really going a full-on fasting day, mm-hmm, will have such deep benefits for our spirituality. Mm-hmm. So we really have to keep that focus. So that struck me is the when, not the if. It is expected.
Right. Well, yeah. As I was reading historical evidences of fasting and such, and I'll try to touch on as much of that as I can, and I will definitely give a plethora of links. I'll probably start posting some articles on Facebook and Instagram, just to kind of get people reading. Mike Aquilina has quite a bit on the early church fathers and fasting that I found to be very beneficial. Mm-hmm. And the truth is that fasting has always been, the Jews fasted. It's, mm-hmm, just always been part of our relationship with God. And one point that I kind of chuckled, it was Tertullian. He is not a saint, but he is an early church father. He said, the first sin was because of Adam's murderous gullet. Mm. That's the wording he said. I mean, Adam couldn't say no to his flesh. Mm. And that is what brought about the sin,
right,
of the world. Mm. And when you read the history of also confronting heretics, the heretics were, there was a lot of remarrying going along. There was a lot of gluttony going on, and they were rejecting fasting. And so this connection between the sins of the flesh and the refusal to fast is evident in all the reading.
Sure.
You know.
Yeah, that's fascinating, because when you think about that, it takes me to a scripture. I don't know the exact location, as Sarah reminded us, but when the Lord made the comment about, you know, the apostles were trying to deliver somebody of a demon, and, you know, Jesus said, some things are only driven out through prayer and fasting. Mm-hmm. And I wonder how often I take a cross that I'm carrying and really put that level of prayer and fasting behind it. You know, if I did, would that enable me to surrender more of that to the Lord? I suspect it would. I just suspect it would. But that's, you know, hearing you talk and pull up that early church father and talk about the sin of the flesh, it's like, in the way in which the sin broke into our world was through that flesh, that was the beginning of that sin, that it only makes sense that Jesus would say that, mm-hmm. that there are going to be things that are so heavy that only through all of these things will they be driven out.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I've listened to Father Ripperger before. You know, he's the exorcist priest I love listening to. Yeah,
he's great.
Yeah. And he has said that the demons will tell you how to get rid of them. Not funny.
Yeah, that's crazy. Okay.
So let's go ahead and get a quote from Saint Ambrose. Do you know about Saint Ambrose?
I do.
Okay. He was the bishop of Augustine.
Yeah. That's correct.
Okay. And St. Monica's spiritual director. Okay, so this is what he says. The bishop's own words, not less than the eloquent passages he quotes, will show that it is one of the principal means of spiritual progress, as well as a remedy against sin and other evils. Okay? And here's what this is what Ambrose says. The apostle of the Gentiles did no more than carry on the tradition of penance, in himself setting the example of a life in which he well knew the minister of God ought to take the lead. In all things, this is the quote from scripture, in all things, let us exhibit ourselves as the ministers of God, in much penance, in labors, in watching, and in fastings, end quote.
Well, that's awesome. So I know I want spiritual progress. That's what I'm hearing. And so now that we've laid the foundation for the importance of fasting and the graces and the strength and the spiritual progress that one can see, I think everybody is probably on board with that. So let's talk about the how-to. The basic how-to of fasting. Do you want to walk our listeners through some of that?
Yeah. There are a lot of different ways of fasting. There is a more traditional bread and water fasting. So I started fasting when my spiritual director told me, which would be a good reason to start fasting.
Right.
he has these like 5 stones that... This is the way to make that spiritual progress and prayer and going to confession on a regular basis, like at least once a month and all that good stuff. Fasting is one of them. And the fasting on Wednesday and Friday, those are the traditional days that the church has always fasted. Okay. Mm-hmm. That got watered down. And people, that is a practice that is kind of not held up anymore in our times. So he suggested a bread and water fast. Now, it has taken me a couple of years to really get my groove on fasting. So hopefully that's encouraging, mm-hmm. because you have to find what really works. For me, quite honestly, eating nothing is better for me than eating anything. Okay. I do have my coffee in the morning, and I put whole whipping cream in it. And I mean, I know that's funny, but I feed myself a good dose of a solid fat source, and then I just go the day. And that, scientifically speaking, is a really good way to fast.
And then you're just hydrating all day with water.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, if I'm on it. I'm not very good at hydration. Okay. But yes, hydrating. There are other ways. If you can do bread and water. Bread just didn't work for me. It messed me up. It honestly, it made me fat. That sounds really funny. But the carbs,
yeah, and just turns it into sugar. Yeah.
My body did not respond well to that. And there was a blip in a Matthew Kelly book about fasting. This is, I don't know, maybe Rediscovering Catholicism. I read it probably 4 years ago, 5 years ago, and talking about fasting. And I think he did a really good job of saying, you know, fasting could be, I'm going to choose not to use salt on my food. Mm-hmm. I'm going to choose not to eat the second scoop of ice cream. Maybe you shouldn't be eating ice cream if you're fasting, but those daily, every day we can choose little fasts. So if you, not everybody can physically fast without food all day either. Like there are health concerns, sure, that have to mm-hmm. be. So we're not prescribing. Here's my disclaimer. I'm not prescribing for people to stop eating. They have right. to make that own decision for themselves if it's within their health scope.
Yeah, exactly.
Does that cover us?
That covers us. That covers us. I mean, you know, it's funny when I hear you saying that about like Matthew Kelly saying, you know, don't have the second scoop of ice cream. I'm like, my ears do not need to hear that. Okay. They don't, because I will be like, oh, well then I think I can do this. It's like, no. Like I need to really be able to go into this a little bit. With a little bit more sacrifice, mm-hmm. because yeah. I feel like when I hear that and there's a little bit of a wiggle room, I want to mm-hmm. I want to take the bigger wiggle room. Mm-hmm. And you know what? This, you know, the rising tide raises all boats, right? So mm-hmm. it's like, I do want to be encouraged to really make an effort into this. Mm-hmm. And all that saying, I agree, you know, you're pregnant, nursing, diabetic, all of that. You guys know where you need to be. Mm-hmm. We're talking about you're totally in a state of health, right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Presumably. And you have the ability to. Mm-hmm. Knowing, okay, so like your example, you knew that the bread, just the way it was converting into sugar in your body was just like not good. Mm-hmm. So you have your thing. But for somebody else, it might be like, you know what? My fasting is I have a cup of coffee and I don't put my cream in, okay? Mm-hmm. And I have an egg. Mm-hmm. That's mm-hmm. it. Mm-hmm. You know? And then my next right. meal is dinner. That,
yes.
Like that, but they still know, okay, I need that protein. I love my cream, but that's where I'm going to give up there. And it's not going to be the mm-hmm. best breakfast, but it's going to sustain me. Mm-hmm. And then we'll go until, and then, you know, of course you don't gorge on the dinner either, right? That is
true.
That's in balance as well.
That is very true, because gorging on dinner, this is where we get to practice the virtue of temperance, mm-hmm. because you're so hungry. And in your mind, well, I haven't eaten all day, so I can just eat all I want to for dinner. Well, that goes against the whole thing of building virtue and telling your flesh no. So now you get to practice the virtue of temperance. I actually heard someone say the other day, we were having just a personal conversation, and she says, you know, a lot of people give up social media, or they give up, I don't know, whatever for Lent. But she says, you know, I've done that before and it was great. She said, but I think the more difficult task is to practice the temperance. Mm. Don't get rid of the app. Don't get rid of that online connection, but learn how to control it. And that really planted a seed in my heart. Mm-hmm. And so letting the Lord talk to me on that.
Yeah, that's interesting that you say that, because as soon as the word temperance came up, I did write it down. Mm-hmm. And I was thinking, you know, how often in our day and age are we given the opportunity to practice temperance or to grow in that virtue? Oh, my word. I mean, now, again, I'm sure somebody's listening like, I live in temperance because we're going through a tough time and I can't have this and I can't have this. And I'm talking about things are good, right? Mm-hmm. You know, you can walk into the grocery store and buy the groceries and you're not worried about that. I'm mm-hmm. talking about that place. Mm-hmm. How often are we able to? And then maybe if there is a situation where we can practice temperance, do we make the choice to do that?
Well, in all situations, even if you have much or mm-hmm. are little, there's always a place for practicing temperance.
Right.
So maybe that person who doesn't have the resources to go and just buy all the groceries, maybe their temperance comes in choosing what they buy. Mm-hmm. Is I don't, you know, get ice cream, or I don't get the bag of chips. I choose to feed my temple mm-hmm. in a very healthful way.
Sure.
You know? We live in a culture, right? We always talk about this culture of sex, and I mean, everything is about sex. Dude, we have a hashtag called food porn. There's a show called food porn.
Yeah. Well, I'm not watching it.
I don't think we have to say anything else.
No, we don't have to say anything else.
Yeah. Okay. Now, I think we have established a good reason to fast. Mm-hmm. Please go read the articles that I will put in the show notes. They will further encourage you to adopt this practice of fasting. The Great. Virtues that come from fasting are numerous.
Right.
Okay. Also, fasting is so weirdly freeing. Okay. So if it's a day of fasting, I do my coffee in the morning, and then I don't have to stop and, oh, okay, what's for lunch? What am I doing? I am free to just focus on my day and what the Lord has for me in that day. Food is not the interruption. And it creates, and you know, that's one of our pillars, freedom.
That's right.
Freedom. And that is really what fasting produces, is a freedom from bondage of sin so that you can walk in the light of Jesus Christ mm-hmm. in joy and happiness. So, and feasting becomes really good too.
Yeah, that's great. Well, when you think about this, 40 days, an opportunity 2 days a week. By the way, what are we talking? Like, I didn't really do the math, but roughly 30% of the week. So it's not, we're not asking for 100% of 40 days. We're not asking for 50% mm-hmm. of 40 days. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. he's asking for about 30, right? So mm-hmm. all very doable. Right. I encourage our listeners to strongly consider Wednesday and Friday mm-hmm. this Lenten season, and to think about the virtues that you will grow in mm-hmm. and the benefit that will not just be for yourself. These graces go into your domestic church. They go into your family. They are there for your spouse and for your children. Because, mm-hmm. I mean, we are ultimately just that vessel of overflowing of God's graces and blessing in us to others. So mm-hmm. while we might particularly grow in an area of virtue, our loved ones benefit from that as well. So... Mm-hmm.
Well, and I think this is, yeah. I'm sorry.
It's a win-win situation. Mm-hmm. Might not feel it 2 days a week, but really?
Right. But that part does typically, for me, I should say that part, there are some days that fasting is harder than others, but let's also, I think this is a really important point to be made. And I think this is the good spot for it. We can do nothing apart from the grace of God, for this to be a truly holy experience, virtue growing, life changing, sin repenting experience, we have to join ourselves to the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Okay. And if Wednesday and Friday isn't speaking to your heart, ask the Lord, Lord, what do you want me to do for Lent? This is the most important thing, is to really do what God is calling you to do. You hear this podcast and you're like, yo, crazy. And then you ask the Lord and he's like, yeah, that's not for you. Then that's okay. Ask him, what is for me, Lord? You know?
Mm-hmm.
So, mm-hmm. I don't want that conversation to bind anyone.
Sure. And all of that, even that suggestion, is in the light of an authentic walking with the Lord. Okay? Because if we take that approach of like, Lord, what's good for me? Let me tell you something. My previously poorly formed conscience really thought the Lord was saying a lot of things were good for me. And the reality was I was dead wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I was dead wrong because I really wasn't, I wasn't having a real friendship and a consistent prayer life with the Lord. So, I mean, when you are in that, and everything ebbs and flows, but when you are in that place, the Lord's speaking to you will always align with his greater good and the greater will. So my point of that is you're not going to say, gosh, Wednesday and Friday is really, really hard for me. And the Lord says, yeah, don't worry about it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think he's just going to say, yeah, don't worry about
it. No, I agree with that.
Right. So I'm just saying that, I'm just putting that out there because you have such a tender heart and to say, see where the Lord's leading you. Some people give so much to that notion that's why we have the catechism. That's why we have these things to always ground us. And, you know, maybe that person says, okay, Wednesday and Friday, I really can't do this. And the Lord you might really hear the Lord say, yeah, but you know, those three glasses of wine you do every Saturday night that you just like love. How about that? You know, there's got to be something in replacement of what is, you know, what we're bringing to him. There won't be this total quote, you know what? It's just not for you. Unless, of course, again, we're saying this all in the framework of a generally healthy person. Not talking about earlier, not talking about, you know, somebody who is expecting or nursing or anything like that. So
diabetics or anything like that.
Right. Yeah. So what I would like us to also have available for our listeners on the website is what the catechism is teaching about this particular aspect of fasting, so that we don't allow, do you see what happens? Do you see how when you say something where there's a little bit of a window, I'm going for it. And do you see when you kind of give a little bit more of this, I could see I'm going for it. So that's what I'm speaking into. I know it's more of where my predominant fault is going to be, is going to say, oh, wow, there's some wiggle room here. I'm going for the wiggle room.
Yeah. Well, okay. So if you're feeling like there's the wiggle room, or nope, Wednesday and Friday, nope, not for me. And by the way, that's all year. That Wednesday and Friday has traditionally been practiced all through the year.
I know that, but our topic is Lenten fasting.
Baby
steps for me, okay?
Okay. The church has practiced that in her wisdom for years. So if you are balking, this is that time where in Mark, and this is how we start Lent on Ash Wednesday, he says, repent and believe in the good news. So if you are balking and saying, nope, no way, this isn't for me, repent and believe in the gospel. Jesus, am I balking because I am in sin? Am I balking because I have distorted something? Yeah, absolutely. Let's call ourselves to greatness here. Mm-hmm. And that's the other big part is confession. I have no qualms in exhorting every single one of our listeners, get to the confessional and get to it on Ash Wednesday or before, because you're going to need the grace of that sacrament to get through Lent.
That's right.
This is the beauty of our church. She has the wisdom, and she has the treasuries of grace to help us on this journey onto salvation. And fasting, almsgiving, and prayer, that's just part of the church. She's always preached it.
Love it. Repent and believe. Well, Becky, I got to tell you, you have given me a shot in the arm. I'm ready. I'm not looking for the wiggle room. I'm doing this. So I encourage our listeners to join in and see where the Lord is calling you. And like Becky was just saying, remember what that notion of repent and believe.
Amen. All right. I will close us off. And I'm keeping you accountable, by the way, on that fasting, because good friends will keep each other accountable, Amen. Right?
Absolutely.
So maybe y'all can find accountability partners. Maybe we can talk about this in the Facebook group with Sarah Chrismeyer as we focus on the penitential Psalms. Maybe Sarah might not appreciate that, but
she will talk about it.
But let's encourage one another that we can do this, because God's grace can do anything.
Amen.
Right. I do want to close out with this one quote from John Cruse. He has a book, Lent and Easter Wisdom from St. Francis and St. Clair of Assisi, because this is the balance right here. Okay. Awareness of sin, however, is balanced by an emphasis on the love and acceptance that God still has for humanity, despite the sinful condition in which we still find ourselves. So, yes, this is a time of penance. Yes, we might feel like we're wearing sackcloths, but this is becoming aware of our sin. But to stay there is prideful.
Exactly.
Yes.
That's right.
So, let us repent and believe in the goodness of Jesus Christ, the good news of the gospel.
Beautiful.
Amen?
Amen.
All right. Should I close this out?
Absolutely. Oh, wait. Before you do, let's just remind our listeners that if they are giving up social media for Lent, that they remember to subscribe to the podcast so that it shows up in their emails.
All right, guys. We are so thankful that you joined us this week. Thankful for all of you in the trenches with us. You can find show notes, and please, please do go there and hit those links. Lots of good reading. Go to thrivinginthetrenches.com for those. Please subscribe. Leave us a review on iTunes. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, where you can join the conversation. Thanks for coming.